evening. On behalf of the Columbia County League of Women Voters, I'd like to welcome you this evening. My name is Kathy White, and I am a league member, and I'll be moderating the forum this evening. Before we begin, we have a few little housekeeping chores that I'd like to address. You have access to index cards. We ask that if you have any questions, you submit them in writing on the index cards. League members will be circulating throughout the evening. So perhaps you're sitting there and you feel that you don't have a question right now, but later on a question will pop into your mind. Feel free to raise your hand, ask for a card. We'll provide you with cards. Our members will collect them. They're going to take a look at them. We're going to try to organize them so that tax questions are asked together and environmental questions are asked together and so on. We're going to also try to do as many different questions as possible so that we hit as many different issues as possible over the course of the evening. The candidates are going to begin momentarily. They drew lots to determine the order in which they'll make their opening statements. And now they have to refresh me because we had a discussion. Is it two to open and three to close? All right, 2-minute opening statement. Then they'll begin to receive questions from me. They'll have a minute in which to respond. Each candidate will answer every question. We have before you tonight your candidates. We have Lisa Mills, who is candidate for justice, and she will speak first, actually, and she will only be giving an opening statement. Because of her unique position, she will not be taking questions from the audience. The other justice candidate, Natalie Cole, is ill this evening, as is her family. She's very sorry she's not able to be here tonight. Also, Mr. Smith, Glenn Smith, is not here tonight, and he sent a statement, and I'll read it to you. There also is listed here information about Mr. Smith, and we'll leave it in the back. If anyone would like to take a look at this later this evening, you certainly may feel free. He says here, dated today, my mother-in-law is in extremely critical condition, and even though I wish I could participate in this evening's forum, I find it necessary to be with my wife to comfort and support her during this time. In my absence, please convey my message to my fellow Town of Kinderhook residents. So this will be in the back. There's additional personal information that he apparently wanted to communicate to anyone who might be interested. Okay. This evening we have WGXC. With us, and they will be streaming the forum live, and you would be able to access that on your computer. They're going to record it, and the recording will be available for your review anytime later this evening up to Election Day. Okay, so without further any, does anyone have any questions before we begin? Okay, Lisa, I'm going to give you the floor, and you may... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't introduce Amy Halstead, our timekeeper. She is ruthless. You are forewarned. Lisa, the floor is yours.
Thank you. My name is Lisa Mills. I am seeking the position of town justice here in Kinderhook. I am an attorney. I have attended Albany Law School. I graduated from Albany Law School in 1998, and I have been practicing law here in the area since that time, about 11 years, that is. My office is located next door in the Kleber Insurance Buildings. Excuse me, I have been in the Kleber Insurance Buildings practicing law for about 6 years now. Prior to that, my office was in Hudson. I practiced primarily matrimonial and family law. Very exciting. I am married. My husband is Rob Fitzsimmons. He is also a practicing attorney in the area. His office is located here in Valencia over on Church Street. He has just recently formed the office of Fitzsimmons and Mack. I have 3 children. I have a 21-year-old daughter, a 16-year-old son, and also a 1-year-old child I am currently the Law Guardian Liaison here in Columbia County, and what that means is Law Guardians are attorneys appointed to represent children in court. I am the liaison appointed by the judge in the family court to represent our county and to get together with other liaisons from other counties to make sure that our Law Guardian program functions well. Law Guardians are attorneys who represent children, so it's a very important function. I am also a member of the Committee on Professional Standards, and what that is, I was appointed to that position by the Chief Presiding Justice of the Appellate Division, which is the second highest court in our state, and we are the body that is responsible for disciplining attorneys. People make complaints to our committee, and we decide whether discipline needs to be handed out to attorneys. I also have previous prosecutorial experience. I was... That goes quick.
Thank you.
And we'll move now to Patsy.
I'm Patsy Leader. I've been living in Niagara for way over 30 years. I've been involved with Girl Scouts, Brownies, summer program for the town of Kinderhook. I come from a big family background from the Leader family. We have quite a few children that have attended all these facilities. We also were involved with Niagara Santa Claus Club and while the kids were growing up and other fundraisers that I have personally have done. My reason for running for the town board was came to me not for the money, of course, and not for the purpose of people knowing who I am, was more for because I feel like the citizens of this town need to be heard, the everyday citizens. And there was times that I've gone to town board meetings and had my people roll their eyes at me and didn't really like to hear. So that is my biggest. I think the little people and the people of this town need to be heard and have someone to speak for them. And people have come to me. I'm also, I have a daughter and a beautiful granddaughter. I am co-owner of Shooters in Valencia. I believe in local business needs to come back to this area. I feel there's nothing left in this area. There's no very little employment and so forth. And I think we really have to wake up to that and try to bring it back to here. That's all I have to say. I want to be less than the time.
Thank you. Todd.
First of all, I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters for giving us this forum here tonight for Dick Bud Crane. My wife, Laura, and I have three children. I have a 14-year-old daughter, Sarah, a 7.5-year-old daughter, Elena, and a 6-year-old son, Jack. I have pretty much lived in the town of Kinderhook my entire life, 40-plus years. I'm currently the food service director here at Ichabod Crane. I've worked here for the last 15 years. I've been pretty active in the community. Some of the things I've done is when my children were involved in soccer, I volunteered my time to coach the soccer within the soccer program. Currently, I'm the sitting chairperson for the Cornell University Cooperative Extension's Family and Consumer Science Committee. I am also a trustee and member of the Albany Police Pipe Band. I am a member of the Kinderhook Democratic Committee, where I represent Niagaraville District 6. I do enjoy a lot of outdoor activities with my family, hiking, boating, skiing. And part of the reason why I'm seeking the office is I find that there's some things in the town that I think we could do, you know, a little bit better for. I'd like to see a youth center started, perhaps at the town hall, using the model that we use for, or that the town board used for, the senior center. I'd also like to see the sidewalk link project completed, the trails program, because the town definitely needs some safe passageways for walkers, bikers, along the corridors within the town. But last and not least, 30 seconds, fiscal responsibility and budget management by the town board. My work here at the school has given me 15 years of budget building and management experience working within state and federal guidelines. I think I've learned a lot while doing that, and I believe that that experience would be an asset to the town board.
Thank you. Helen. Hi. Once again, thank you to the school and League of Women Voters for hosting this forum tonight. I'm a lifelong resident of the town of Kinderhook. I attended and graduated from the Ichabod Crane Central School District and went on to receive my Bachelor's of Art from the State University of Albany.
I currently live in the Village of Valencia with my husband and my four children who are here tonight. And grew up in the village of Kinderhook and lived in the Nyrerville for 10 years in the same house my mother grew up in. Coming from a family that's always been active in the community, it would make sense that I would take an interest in local government. Since I moved to the Village of Valencia in 2002, I served on the Village Zoning Board of Appeals, the Youth Commission, I was liaison to the Kinderhook Town Rec Commission, and I was elected the Village of Valencia trustee. In addition to these activities, I also started the Valencia Youth Theater in 2004 that offers free theater program to any child that wants to participate. And I'm a founding member of the Valencia Community Theater, a 501c3 that began in 2005. I, like Todd, would like to see the town youth facilities expanded. There's a need for the youth center here, and programming for children that includes activities beyond athletics. It's a big undertaking, but I believe in the power of our community, and I think it can be done mostly through volunteer efforts. I see the newly formed Energy Commission as an enormous opportunity for our town. The town has the possibility to create its own energy and feed back onto the grid, and in this process, provide local source of cheap green energy to the town's residents. I'd also like more accommodation for pedestrian and bicycle traffic. We have streets that need better paths and sidewalks to give our pedestrians a safer place to walk or run. This type of transportation is not only better for our bodies and our environment, but it brings us all closer together as you pass each other on the street. I want to see better cooperation and coordination between the villages, the town, and a number of other groups that must be considered in the process, being the Ichabod Crane Schools, the fire departments, and the National Park Service. That's all I have time for.
Thank you.
Pat.
Yes. Hi. Good. Thank you for inviting me here. I'd like to say I'm Pat Grattan. I've lived in the community since 1968. I'm a naturalized American citizen. I've got the papers to prove it. I was, prior to that time, I lived in Brooklyn, New York. I've lived most of my adult life in the Columbia County, in the village of Kinderhook. I also lived in the town of Stuyvesant. I also lived in the village of Valencia for the last 26 years. I've lived on Main Street, right in the village. I went to Hudson Valley Community College. I went to Siena College. I went to College of St. Rose for my master's degree in English, and I went to Albany Law School. I graduated from law school. I believe that there's some issues that are confronting the town and the county that need to be addressed. I think that what has to happen in the face of shrinking revenues, in the face of ever increasing prices for items that the town cannot do without, we have to start looking at the cost of every town service. We have to look at the cost of every expenditure on a monthly basis, so that we can look at it and determine where savings can be made. The Village of Valencia was very successful in 1991 with sharing services. It reduced, took a $115,000 a year bill out of the village budget. I'd also like to see the county work with a program called New York Connects to delay or maybe even prevent the entry of the elderly into the nursing home. Most elderly would like to stay at home. And New York Connects would provide a triage or a sifting point where people could be made aware of all the programs that are available for at-home care, of which there are many, and they're available, and they're Medicaid funded. And I'd also like to say I've known Doug for a number of years, and I've gone to seminars with him, and that's all I can say.
Time. Okay, very good. Okay, without further ado, we'll begin questions.
Doug.
Oh, I'm sorry, Doug. Excuse me.
I was number four.
Please accept my apology.
I thought I was number four, too, but that's all right.
You could be number four.
No, I don't care. No. Tell me when the time starts.
Now.
Okay. Learning. I'm Doug McGivney, and I'm asking for your support so I can continue to work on something I love to do, and that is be supervisor of the town of Kinderhook. I'm proud of the ability to try and make a difference. Don't always succeed, but I try. Before I get into that, though, I was very disturbed by an article in today's paper, so I just want to clear something up, and I'll answer all the misstatements that was in that letter, not by Pat, but it can't go without saying. First of all, the sidewalks. We had a comprehensive Trails Committee that adopted a plan. Pursuant to that plan, we have applied for many grants over the years.
The grant talked about today's paper, the sidewalk link. Actually, and this is the front page, and it is the second page. And inside there, the applicant is the town of Kinderhook, which paid for it, and I was the applicant, and I signed for it. It was a joint agreement. So to say that I was not involved in taking false credit is totally untrue, as there are other things in that article, which I'll put on my blog, and you can see. I'm retired. I can work full-time, and I enjoy working, doing what I'm doing. I would like to continue to do the things that we have already started. I would like to continue the large things and the small things. Create a youth center, and I think with my two young colleagues here that that can happen, following the model of the senior center, where people did the work themselves. Very little money went into that, and yet it's a beautiful place for seniors to gather and others. I would like to attract senior housing. We'll talk more about that, hopefully. Get solar on our buildings. We've applied. We're trying to get grants to get it. We're almost there. We will produce more electricity than we need, which has led to the big idea of a Kinderhook Power Authority. I'd like, and then there's little things. I want to continue. Someone wants a community garden. We're going to do that. Someone wants a dog walk. We're going to do that. And all we do is give them the space, and they're going to buy the fence and buy the other stuff that goes with it. Thank you. Oh, I typed it myself. Thank you.
Okay. We'll begin with our first question this evening, and the first question goes to Todd first, and here it comes. And I'd be happy to restate the question at any time, so don't hesitate to ask. What experience do you have in either your public or private life that will aid you in successfully managing the town budget?
Well, for the last 15 years, I've been the food service director here at Ichabod Crane. While the food service budget is rather small on the scale of things, it's a $700,000 budget, I'm responsible for creating that budget. I'm responsible for managing that budget. And like I said before, it's all within, my entire budget runs between, you know, with state and federal guidelines. So I would think that my 15 years of working here at the school district gives me that experience to help work on the town board.
Thank you. Helen.
I currently sit on the Village of Trustees for the Village of Alesia. I was elected trustee and have had to work out budgets there. I know what it's like to work on a budget. I know how to map it out and what has to come in and what and how to also make tough choices in that too. Where do we have to cut? In fact, recently in the past year, for some reason, trustees were getting an additional $1,000 if they served on the water or sewer. But we cut that because the people in the village didn't need to have that. We have us being paid that. It was something that we should be doing anyway if we're elected to be trustee. One of the big places that I know where to cut money is in my own family budgeting. In the past spring, because money's tight, we went on an austerity budget in my house. We cut all kinds of stuff. We had to make things tight, and the kids had to understand that when, you know, when money gets tight, you have to give up the luxuries, and you have to find ways to have fun and find ways to make the money stretch if you need to do that.
Pat.
Oh, I think I'm four.
Yeah.
We were rotating the order in
which
you...
Oh, I'm sorry.
So the same person doesn't get the first question each time.
I served on the town board for 4 years. I was deputy supervisor for 7 years. I was the town budget officer for 3 years in the 90s. On the village level, I was mayor for 6 years. I was a member of the board of trustees for about a year and a half. I was chairman of the village planning board, which oversaw the Holly Hill subdivision being built, and also I was a chairman of the planning board in the village. And the thing that I think that I bring to the table and bring to town is that in 1991 we did a merger of between the town highway services and the village highway services that resulted in a savings of $115,000 a year and cut $8.31 out of the tax rate for that year. It's the only merger that's been successful in Columbia County. And I'd like to continue with sharing services with other towns and in a non-intrusive way. Shared services does not mean that you have to, that one municipality takes over another. It can be as simple as bidding health insurance.
Doug.
Yes. I've been supervisor now for 10 years, so five terms, you know, we run every 2 years. And this is the most difficult time that we've had, both on the county and on the state. Here's a graph that I used to talk to our board. I'll tell you about what we did last night because we passed the preliminary budget. This, we talked about highway, which is the biggest portion of our budget. All this blue is sales tax. Sales tax for the last month is 50% off the year before. Yet we have to plan on what our expectations are. And if this gets cut off, what are we going to do? And that's the biggest hurdle that we have to do. What we've got to do is keep track of our expenses as we go along, make cuts if necessary, if the economy goes the wrong way. If it goes the right way, we're golden. What we're going to have to do, as we've been doing on the county level, is every month we go over our budgets. We have those departments in that are under or over, especially on the revenue side.
Thank you. Patsy.
My experience is running a small business that it's almost 10 years that I've run, running about insurance, payroll, all the different fees I have to pay in the business that I'm in, and also having the inventory that I have in the store and worrying about what season to pay that. I've never, thank God, I can say that even in this hard times of retail and having a small business, no matter what, we're getting hit terribly. And I have actually made it that I can actually show that I have money and that I can pay the bills and that I make sure that I'm accountable for every nickel dime that comes in and I don't do foolish spending. And if I was on the town board, I would see the same as that, that foolish spending will not exist and that everything will balance and cut and make sure everything is paid also. I'm very proud of being a woman in the business that I'm in and that I can actually say that I have been a success at it.
Thank you. Okay, question number two, and this one goes to Helen first. All candidates talk about fiscal responsibility. Are you aware of the amount of debt the Village of Valencia and the town of Kinderhook carry, and what are your ideas for the management of this debt?
Well, I am aware of the debt that the Village of Valencia carries. And the management of it, I'm not fully aware of the full amount of debt that the village, that the town of Kinderhook carries at this point. We've been managing it by taking out bands and bonds and trying to get the lowest possible interest rate and paying that off, and we use, of course, taxes to pay it off as well. As far as managing it, I think it's just a matter of having to cut ourselves down to the bone and stop spending money frivolously in the village. We have actually spent money that I wonder if we should be spending in the past year, and if it was necessary to put money out, you know, for attorneys and for lawyers outside of our own village attorney, and I wonder if that was wise, that kind of money, if it was wise to spend that. Was it wise to take on the debt, that the extra debt that we had to take on for the senior center in the village?
Thank you. Pat.
Yes, I'm very much aware of it. And unfortunately for municipalities and the town and Kinderhook are alike, there's many, many aging roads. I've been campaigning, and I speak to a lot of people who talk about roads, which I'm sure all the current town board members have heard complaints about. And unfortunately, yes, the reality is for capital costs, there has to be borrowing, and it has to be borrowed at the lowest interest rate. Fortunately, the municipalities are all prohibited by law beyond borrowing above a certain level. But nonetheless, it's something that's got to be recognized, it's something that's got to be dealt with, and it's something that municipalities are almost forced to do in this day and age to replace heavy equipment or to place roads. And I would certainly keep a very close watch on debt to make sure that it didn't increase unnecessarily.
Doug.
Yes, the town of Kinderhook owes $1.6 million. With the exception of one principal payment, so it's a little less than that. That was for the highway garage. That's what we estimated. That's what the bond is, bond anticipation note. The Village of Kinderhook is $2.86 million, according to their last AUD, which is a little bit misleading because there's another $500,000 that they have a ban on, which they approved in June, but actually did in July, which doesn't show on this year's budget. But you add that $500,000, so you come up with over $3 million. So Little Valencia owes two or three times what we do, and I've got the highway garage, which was like fixing your roof. You don't like to do it, but we had to do it, and we have to do it. Now, we've been lucky in that the interest rates have been very, very low. We're paying 2.2% on a band, which will be rolled over. I don't anticipate any borrowing, although one of the things we have considered last night is helping Valencia with the purchase of a ladder truck.
Patsy?
Not knowing all the figures and the looking at all the books and balances, I just feel that spending in the town, we have to look. I know it's a crisis, in no matter if it's either in the village of Valencia or the town of Tenderhook, but the check and balances. My theory is to actually look at all the money that is spent and why it is spent and make sure that it does balance and stop taking out of this place and put it in this place and see if it's wisely. In this economic time, I feel with this town should shop around for prices and so forth, not just go to one place all the time. And we have to look at all that. And I know for a fact that they do. And there's a lot of cheaper places. Everybody will like a business, and they'll give you a heck of a good price if they could.
Thank you. Todd?
I'm not aware of the totality of either the Village of Valencia's debt service or the town of Kinnerhook, but what I would do is, I know that we are experiencing tough times right now. New York State, obviously, you all know, is in a boatload of red, and some of those cuts are going to be coming our way. They're going to be coming, whether it's the school district, the towns. So I would say that, you know, when working with the budget on the town board level, to look at some of the things that we are doing in the town. You know, are we using, you know, funds in the right areas? Are we doing the best thing and trying to bid, whether it's, you know, bidding different services outside the, you know, some of the areas that we are able to, whether it's, you know, if you're looking at different health insurance issues or things of that nature. So I guess that's what I would do, you know, in the budget process.
Thank you. Okay, question number three, and this goes to Pat first. Can you list all of the services that our taxes fund?
I've only got a minute. The services, highway services, general government support, building inspector, the entire A fund in the town, your town board, you've got recreation services in the town, the town funds. My goodness, the entire town budget, as Doug pointed out, the highway department is a big part of it, the building inspectors, the assessor, the town clerk, the registrar of vital statistics, the general services for all the town buildings that the town is responsible for taking care of. And I probably forgot something, but I'm sure you understand.
Doug.
I agree with Pat, especially the two of us, right? But the big one in the town is highways, which Pat mentioned. But what we've tried to do is put a lot of our investment into recreation and for our children and for everybody in the community. And we've been doing that gradually and incrementally, and we hope to continue. The services, if you go to the county, you've got DSS, you've got Medicaid, you've got welfare, you've got temporary assistance, you've got permanent assistance, you've got safety net. On the county level, it is the same thing, though. Highway is your biggest budget. But we do a lot of good things. Even on the town level, the Office of Aging with their Meals on Wheels, which the town does fund the volunteers by paying for their mileage, which is a lot. It's up to 50 cents a mile. But it's a great program, so these are good things that we do. I think what we have to do, which we've been doing all year, is watching how money is spent.
Thank you. Patsy.
Well, the town garage, I know, and the highway is very high, but we also have a summer program. We have a great summer program in this town. We always did. I've always encouraged all the children to attend it. Unfortunately, I would like something more for the youth in this area. I feel that there's the children that does the sports and does the summer program, but there's a whole other crisis that need to be looked at with the children also. But we have a lot of revenue that we have to start really cutting and looking at, and when I that's all I have to say. I hate that card.
Todd.
Of course, we all sound repetitive here, don't we? The highway department, the town board stuff, the recreation committee, fire protection, are all stuff that's built into the town budget. I'm trying to think of.
Okay, Helen.
The list is what has been mentioned so far, and the fire protection. We also give funding to our ambulance. We have libraries that are a big part of the town and offer great programs for kids, by the way. My daughters actually participated in the Battle of Books program for the summer, which was wonderful for them. But that's monies that are really important, and if we can keep the library going, it always helps everybody, including kids, seniors, everybody across the board. There's town festivals, there's any kind of emergency funding that are needed.
I'm done now.
It's just a list. Thank you.
All right, question number four, and this goes to Doug first. What is your position regarding the consolidation of redundant municipal services? Specifically, do you feel that village court could be consolidated with town court? Do you think that the villages should, that village, I'm not sure if I'm trying to read this, should be eliminated altogether?
No. On the question of court consolidation, if that's what you're talking about, we have explored that. I'm chair of the legal committee on the county. We set up a legal efficiencies subcommittee to study that. And I'm not at the point where I want to see consolidation, but I do want to see shared services. One of the things I've suggested, and it's on my blog over the senior building that they have in Glacial, is that that could be used for a courthouse for both the town and the village. And it would be really apropos, especially as long as we have Archie Williams as one of our judges, because it would be right where he could use it conveniently. Those kind of things we are encouraging, and we've been working diligently with Tom Dias, a supervisor from Ancrum, Jessica Nabosny, who is our DWI coordinator, because we have some funds, to coordinate the courts better. Currently, it's not good justice in that people are always confused between being in Valencia, being in Kinderhook, being at our town. They come in, they use people's times talking.
Thank you. Patsy.
The courts right now, I think, are working very well for either town, for the village and the town of Kinderhook. I don't know if you noticed, but when you go to Valencia Court, the pile is down the road. Maybe down the road we can actually get a place that they could consolidate, but I don't foresee that yet until they can both join in at that and to make the facility very livable for a court and see if we can afford to do that. The town of Kinderhook over in Nyerville there is filled usually at night too on court night. It's amazing to see how many people and how we get all the services there. Share some of the services, we should look at that. We should look and see about consolidating them. But it's something that we would have to look down the road and see if it's feasible financially.
Thank you. Todd.
I think that definitely consolidating services is something that the town needs to look at. There can be, obviously there are some chances to have some cost savings there. Some things will work and some things won't. As far as the town justices go, it would be nice to have them all in one place, but I don't know, obviously you can't do them all on the same night. And as far, was the question the village, doing away with the villages? Was that the?
Yes. If I read this exactly the way it's written, it says, do you think that villages should be eliminated altogether?
I'd have to say no. I really think the villages need to maintain their that's okay. I would be against that. I think the villages need to maintain their sense of self and have some separation of we are all under the same guise of the town of Kinderhook, but I think that the villages need to maintain their own identities, and there's a certain, you know, historical value to that. So that would be something I'd be interested in.
Thank you. Helen,
could you read the question again for
yes.
me?
Yes. Thank you. What is your position regarding the consolidation of redundant municipal services? Specifically, do you feel that village court could be consolidated with town court? Do you think that villages should be eliminated altogether? I apologize, because that last sentence didn't make sense to me.
It's two questions.
It really is two questions. Okay.
On dissolving the villages altogether, I'm not entirely in favor of that. But I do think there's a lot of services that are duplicated across the board that we could combine and be really effective for both the villages and the town of Kinderhook. The town of Kinderhook offers a vast majority of experience that they could bring to the table, just like people in the village could as well. The court services, I'm not so sure about. I do know that we in Valencia, our court gets pretty crowded at times, and we could do well to have a shared court space with the town of Kinderhook, and I think that our one judge would do well for that. On the fire, to have a consolidation of fire services and still allow each fire department to maintain its own separate identity might not be a bad idea. In fact, when I was liaison to the fire department last year, I went to the talks in order to try and see about doing that. And they were supposed to do an audit of equipment and then talk about combining a lot of the funding in order to have our shared equipment. And that was like the ladder truck, for example, where we talked about that. So
thank you. Pat.
I'll refer back to the merger of the Village of Valencia, Department of Public Works, and the Highway Department. The lesson that I learned about that, everybody has to be willing to do it and has to be willing to cooperate. Before any of that was raised, I would listen to the justices. I would listen to the people in the individual villages. If they're not interested, I am not interested in doing something as intrusive as that. And regarding dissolving villages, that's something that the law allows to be done by referendum. And that's something that's squarely in the villages, in the people's arena. If the people wanted to do that, that is something to bring up in a referendum. That's the way it has to be done by law. And again, I would be willing to listen to whatever the people would like in regards to the government that serves them most closely.
Thank you. Next question, and we begin with Patsy first. What relationships have you established with state and or federal elected officials that would be beneficial in assisting our town in maximizing opportunities for grants and aid to keep our taxes down?
Me first?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, say the question again.
Sure. What relationships have you established, if any, with our state and federal elected officials that would be beneficial in assisting our town in maximizing opportunities for grants and aid to keep our taxes down?
To keep our taxes down is a question that everybody has on their mind nowadays, and it's tough. It's tough for no matter who you are, where you live, what state even, or wherever you are. What relationship I have gotten, I'm the type of woman, I'm a very strong-headed Irish girl, that if I need to talk to somebody and need to find out something, that I will be one that will be the go-getter, that will get on the phone or go after that person and try to help and work to the hardest of trying to figure it out. I've done that no matter what. I'm a negotiator every day. I'm a barter. I love to barter, and I have no problem asking anybody. I've had very high influential people in my business, and one of them was Gillibrand, and she came up to me and she says, you know, you're a heck of a woman, and I never realized that a woman could do what you're doing. And I looked at her and I said, well, that's ditto to you too. And she looked at me, she says, nice.
Todd.
I really don't have a lot of tight relationships with any elected officials on the local level, obviously, but as far as state government. Tim Gordon is one person, he's Assemblyman Gordon, that I have had some conversations with and met at various events, and talk to him, you know, regarding stuff like whether it was the ice storm when he came out here at Ichabod Crane when we had the shelter here. And he came across a very nice guy who basically was willing to do, I think he has a lot of interest in Columbia County as he serves this part of the district. I deal with the state on various different levels, whether it's the health department or the New York State Child Nutrition Services up in Albany. But I'm not afraid to make phone calls and get involved and, you know, see what I can do.
Helen.
Well, I'm not a person that's afraid of making phone calls either. I've called many people at the state level when I've had to get information about stuff in the village or information I needed on. I am a very good friend of Tim Gordon's, and in fact, I've had the pleasure of working with him over the past year to secure a grant for the Village of Valencia Theater in order to put bathrooms in. And we're very close. In fact, we should be hearing any day now that the grant will be coming through. When he was at my house and he first brought up the idea of this grant and if the theater would be interested in it, I was able to direct him to the board and work with the board member on writing the grant and figuring out how the grant should be submitted. And whenever I had a question, I could call Tim's office, and they guided us through it. And now they're actually going to help us a lot in guiding us on how to administer that grant. And it's been a pleasure. It's been an exciting thing to do. And I'm really looking forward to having bathrooms at the theater.
Pat.
I think grants are a very, very important part of a community. For example, going back into the 80s, the Village of Valencia participated in small cities grants programs. They were immeasurable in the help that they gave the village in refurbishing old buildings. The village used those grants under Mayor Natsky. The village sought help from the state for facade renovations on the main street. The village got the National Guard to help out, and we got about $250,000 worth of grade and work and trail work done at Packaquack. And in those ways, both when I was mayor, I was a grant administrator. We administered the earlier grants. I was village attorney. I also worked with the grants that were given for facade renovations and for the Packaquack project. So I don't underestimate those, and I'd be actively pursuing those if I were in town office.
Doug.
I attended a meeting yesterday called Partnering at Lindenwald. I couldn't stay for the whole thing. But as you know, during my tenure, we asked, supported, lobbied, and did everything we did to provide for a boundary line expansion. Congressman Sweeney didn't introduce it until the last couple months of his term. Congresswoman Gillibrand got it done during her term. So we now have a whole plan. I've worked with various people on both sides of the aisle. That's a good one because, in fact, within the next couple of weeks, we should obtain another, I don't know how many, hundreds of acres of land around Lindenwald. I've worked with Senator Saland on the highway matter. He was excellent. We didn't succeed, but we gave it a college try. Congressman Murphy called me on our Kinderhook Task Force for Power Authority because we had talked to him about it. Peter and I met with him, several months ago. And then one day out of the blue, he called me to ask me how we're doing.
Okay, next question. This goes to Todd first. Why do the assessments go up every year, and do you agree with this policy?
Why do the assessments go up every year? That's a good question. I think the reason why the assessments go up every year is there's a formula that's used, I believe, that the town is allotted. So with the town budget, there's money allotted in the town budget for tax revenues. Some of that revenue is obviously on your house. I think what they do is they look at what local sales are like, whether they're purchases, you know, new home purchases, whether it's your neighbor's house that's purchased, and I think they try to stay within those guidelines of what the value of the house is. Maybe not what the actual value is, but you know, in the broad scope of what the houses are going for in each development. They have to be assessed every year. Obviously, the budget comes up every year. The services change every year. Certain costs go up, so I think, you know, state aid doesn't always come through where it's supposed to be coming through, so if they cut it at the county level or at the state level to the counties, then the towns have to make it up.
Okay. Helen?
Well, everybody's assessments don't go up every year. I've been lucky enough that mine haven't gone up for the past 3 years. Mine has stayed right where it is. The assessments go up because people buy houses, and people buy houses for more money. And so we have to stay at 100% assessment rate in order to stay within state regulations. And no matter how you look at it, we have to raise a certain amount of money for taxes in order to provide services to the people in our community. Now, we cannot be assessed at 100%, and then the tax rate will be higher because we still have to raise the same amount of money no matter how you look at it. So the assessments go up every year because we have to stay at 100% assessment and people buy homes. It's the local sales thing. And it also depends on where you live. If you live in a more desirable community, if you live in a community where people want to live, if you live in a community that has brand new homes or it has great historic homes, your assessments are going to go up because people are buying homes in that area. And your assessment is based on what your area is selling for.
Thank you. Pat?
I think the important thing to remember with assessments is they should be fair. I think if a person is overassessed, they're paying more than their fair share of taxes. I think it's unfair to take a property in the village that in a community that is perhaps historical, perhaps is larger, perhaps has got the best of everything, and use that as a standard to measure more homes that are more ordinary. Maybe they don't have the amenities that the bigger home would have. I think if a person is overassessed, they're paying more than their fair share. That's my position on it.
Doug?
First of all, what Pat just described really should not occur. These, and I brought this because I knew this question was coming, these are the regulations under which taxes are assessed. It's based on a statistical analysis to arrive at a fair market value of an individual sale. And it's guided by where you are. I'm always astounded that the highest people pay the most for property on the lake. My house on the lake, which is $250,000, we paid $30,000 for it years ago, less than 30. But if it were up on the lake, it'd probably be from $500,000 to $750,000. The same would be true if it was designed a little different and was on the Four Corners and Kinderhook. So those are separate neighborhoods, and they're assessed as such. And it's all done by rules. It's not something we guess. The dates, I know people have been saying they're going to change the date of when the assessments were regulated. It's July 1 of each year, period. And that's the date that closes off for the next year. But these are the regulations. Our assessor has gotten awards for meritorious.
You're done. Thank you. Patsy.
What do you want me to say for you, Doug?
That Barbara's gotten awards.
Barbara's gotten awards, yeah. Barbara, you have a heck of a job, and I wouldn't want it. You know that. And the assessment, I know there's guidelines, and I know that we have to go by a format and all that. But I think that's the biggest issue people are saying. They wish they could sell their house for what they're assessed for in this time of the economy. It's hard for me being a single person and trying to make it, you know, and people are looking at that, and I know the couple of the ladies up the road and on their fixed income, and that's the hardest thing. There's a lot of hardship right now, and I don't want to see a lot of foreclosures in the area, and I know there's guidelines, but it's tough. We have to bring either business in or help with the taxes or something else to occur.
Next question, and this one goes to Helen first. The Open Space Institute, the National Park Service, Roxbury Farm, the Columbia Land Conservancy, and the Kinderhook Trails Committee are local people involved in land conservation, sustainable farming, historical interpretation, and recreation along the east side of the Kinderhook Creek. Do you support these endeavors, and what could the role of the town be? And along with that, I'm going to add to it, do you support the establishment of hiking or bike trails in the town, and how about a sidewalk along the creek from Falaise to Kinderhook?
I say yes to all of it. Those are issues that are near and dear to my heart. I actually worked as a park ranger at Lindenwald in 1987, and it was a great summer. I had a great time. I'm a member of the Friends of Lindenwald. I make costumes for their interpretation there. I get paid for that, but that's my job. The bike trails and a sidewalk along the creek would be wonderful. Those are all things that we need. We really do need them. They interconnect our community. They allow us to come together. They bring people. It's a community building project, all of these things. And to have the open space is also important, too, because it maintains the rural character of our town. There are reasons why we all move here, and the reasons why people come here and the reasons why I've stayed here is that it's a beautiful place to be. And to have that open space and to have the green space and the preserves where we can go and hike and enjoy the outdoors and still maintain our little villages and our communities is a gift.
Pat.
In 1991, the first year I was mayor, the village of Valencia passed the open space subdivision law that mandates smaller lots. It gives the planning board a tremendous amount of ability to vary the widths of roads, the size of lots, to put demands on developers that they be a multitude of different housing styles. That has resulted in the preservation of about 65 acres of open space in the village since that time. That's something we did right in Valencia, and the majority of the acreage has creekfront on the Packaquat Preserve. I certainly support preserve and open space, but I also would like to recognize that if there is a cost to the town for maintenance, for insurance, for taking care of open space, then that has to be dealt with. And also, we have to also respect the right of adjoining property owners that a trail or a riding path or a sidewalk isn't an unwarranted intrusion into the privacy of their home. I don't think anybody would want that.
Doug.
Like I said, I met with all those people you just named yesterday. They had a huge meeting on partnering. One of the things that we are in our plan that we adopted, Francis Facility headed for years, and now Mike Kipp on our board is pursuing with a chair of, I think, Mr. Hamilton, who is here tonight, and Jim Dunham. We have obtained, through Open Space Institute and Land Conservancy, trail rights all the way from Stuyvesant Falls to the village of Kinderhook, with the exception of two remaining pieces of property. One is in the works, and we have another one which will probably give us a better, right now, within the next week, we'll probably obtain another 100 acres along the creek through Open Space. I have supported Lindenwald. We have passed resolution after resolution trying to get former Congressman Sweeney to introduce legislation so we could do what we're just doing, which is preserving that Wiles Farm, and it's being done. Now, those are the things that we need to continue to work on as a community with all those organizations that you mentioned.
Thank you. Patsy?
I believe in the trails, and I love the open spaces and that. I'm not a big hiker. I'm in the woods quite a bit, but I don't hike a lot. Age has something to do with that. But I believe that if we are really going to do this and do sidewalks along trails and so forth, I think we got to look at the cost and the maintenance and who is maintaining it. And that's what we have to look at. And the cost of doing all this, we have to really see if the town can afford to or can be allowed into the budget for this year or next year or the year to come. I believe in wildlife and getting out there and the open spaces, but I think we should look first at the cost and see if the people actually want it.
Todd.
I believe that all those things are vital for the town. I think one of the things, especially with the trails and the sidewalks, it does connect the communities together, the villages, and that the stretch that you're talking about, the trail, you know, connecting Stuyvesant all the way up to Niverville. In a meeting here at the school a few months ago, they had the trail programs, a big meeting with the trail program here, and they brought in some folks from outside that have had some successful the rails and trails down in Dutchess County, I think it was. And showed how that could be done without a cost to the town with the taxpayers. I think that the town's role is vital because I think the town can help pull together the villages that are necessary that all those things would, you know, connect. Of course, you know, the cost of things is something that needs to be looked at. But I think that, you know, using other successful trails and stuff, I think those are, you know, ways of finding the right, you know, right way to do it.
Great. Next question, and this one goes to Pat first. What is your position on outdoor wood burners?
I'm glad you asked that question. I know that there's been a lot of controversy in the village of Kinderhook about that. I had the opportunity over the weekend before last to look at the ordinance that the village of Kinderhook wants to pass, and I think that goes a long, long way to addressing the concerns of neighbors. I myself burn 8 to 10 cords of wood a year in a wood boiler at my home. I recognize that it goes a long way for cutting down on people's fuel costs. I think that with anything like this, what has to be remembered, there's a tremendous amount of people who, if oil were to cost $3 or $4 a gallon, would the heating of their homes would probably be a financial catastrophe for them. So those people that are heating with wood, I think we've got to recognize that it can be done in a safe way, and it can be done as a good neighbor to heat homes. Thank you.
Doug.
Yes, I agree with Pat. Matter of fact, I know he talked the same guy I did. Mike Rebatis in the village has a wood burner, and that he was the cause of the controversy, probably unjustly so. It is something of concern, though, because the EPA under Bush passed regulations that said this: you can manufacture them, but compliance was voluntary for regulation, except for one item. So you had to have one voluntarily to comply with whatever the regulations were. Fortunately, the two that I saw, the one that Mike has and the one I found up on Birch Lane, and the man took me through and I talked to all the neighbors, and it did not cause a problem. But they are the high-end type that probably comply with the voluntary standards of EPA. They should be made mandatory standards in all of New York State. Because what they do is they reburn. It's made, you probably saw it too. They reburn so you don't get the horrendous particles into the air. Now, they have to be operated properly. So that's what we've got to look for is regulation. And Mr. Bajano is head of our codes committee looking into that very question.
Patsy?
I am against them banning these outdoor wood-burning stoves. My biggest issue is the cost today of fuel and the economic needs, and if these people, these burners are not very inexpensive. They're very expensive. And they do have a good thing. What I do feel that they should not be burning garbage in any of this, and I don't think anybody should believe in that, or leaves. They don't do that. I have seen them work. I've known numerous of people. I understand about the particles and so forth, but it's the same thing if you have a wood stove or a fireplace in your house. It's the same idea almost. And I feel that we should not be a town or a village to tell people how to afford to heat their house. And that's my biggest issue.
Todd.
I think there's a lot of work that can be done on this. I spoke to some folks from Connecticut over the summer, and they actually are regulated in the town they live in on the wood burners. There's things that they put in, such as chimney heights. They're reburners, and they actually can be quite effective in not disturbing the neighbors. You know, certainly no one wants to live and have smoke blown into their house, you know, because you live downwind of it. But there are ways to make these things safe, efficient, eco-friendly as they can be with, you know, like household wood stoves or fireplaces. But I think that there is work to be done on it. I think that, you know, there's some things that the town and the villages could do to come up with some standards that are enforceable. That would be the other thing. You need to have enforceable standards, but I think it's a possibility. I mean, they're doing it other places, so, you know, I don't see why our town can't do the same.
Helen?
Well, it sounds like we all need to do some research on it and find out exactly what we would want to have as our standards and what kind of compliance we would need for outdoor wood burners, and what type of regulations we need to put in place. It's a new issue for the town and for the villages. I assume that if it's in the town, it's in the village of Kinderhook, eventually we're going to see them in the village of Alaysia as well. I know that you're going to need a chimney at a certain height, but that's common sense. Any time you're heating your wood with any kind of, heating your house with wood or oil, you need to have your chimney at a certain height in order to not disturb your neighbors and also for efficiency of the burn. They're talking about the reburners. That's also a way, this also makes them more energy efficient when you have a reburner in it as well, because you're reburning your wood and you're reburning any of the particles that are there, and it lessens the particles coming out of the top of the chimney. But like everybody here said, you do have to have some kind of regulations, because you can't have something that's going to cause hardship to your neighbors.
Okay, thank you. Next question, and this goes to Doug first. New York State law requires that governmental meetings be conducted in an open and public setting. Please describe your understanding of what circumstances permit a body to go into executive session outside of the public view.
It's all in public officers law, section 8, I think, and what it provides is that the basic rule is everything's open. That's the law. Everything's open, and then there are exceptions. One of those exceptions is litigation, and that has qualifications. You can't just say litigation. It's got to be, it doesn't have to be even pending, but there has to be a real likelihood potential litigation. For example, last night, we went into executive session to discuss the Slovak litigation. We met with our attorney. That's perfectly legal. Employment matters are generally confidential. Don't have to be, but are generally, and they are one of those exceptions that you can go into executive session. If you're negotiating, especially, and this gets into other questions like purchasing property, that's another case, because if it gets out that municipality's interested in a piece of property, then the price is going to go up. So those are circumstances that you can have a meeting not open to the public. Otherwise, the default is always open. And I agree with it.
Patsy?
Well, I believe that some things should be in executive meeting, yes, and an executive session. And I agree with Doug on a lot of that, employment, buying the parcels and so forth. But I also think that the people should be aware of when they do have these, and I think there's a certain time limit that they are supposed to say that they have, not at the board meeting, but if they're going to have a special meeting. But I want it to be said to the people. I want the people to be aware of what is going on, and I believe in openness, that the town board should always let the people know what is going on in the town. So. At that point, I'm in executive meetings, and if the town people should know about certain things, that after the meeting, it should be said.
Thank you. Todd?
I do believe in the open meetings law, obviously. And like Doug said, and I think probably everybody here will say the same thing, that, you know, litigation, employee matters are all things that can't be, certain items of those cannot be discussed in a public session. And then even when you go to executive session, those matters are, you know, remain in executive session unless there's going to be obviously until there's going to be a decision made on things. I didn't know it was Section 8.
I'm not sure it is
public office law, but I do believe that, you know, with meetings, the meetings are posted in the paper, you know, the dates of the meetings, the minutes are handed out, the minutes of the meeting. When folks come to the meeting at the town board level, I know they'll see that it'll mention whether they're going to executive session or not. So I do feel that, you know, but it is, people are made aware of what's going on within the town.
Helen?
This is an issue that I struggle with all the time. Every executive session meeting must be gone into during a regular board meeting of the governing board. At that point, they can't just say that we're going in for personnel, we're going in for litigation, we're going to discuss employee matters. You must state clearly what you're going into executive session for. In addition to that, you have to let if there are minutes of that executive session or information in the executive session the public wants to be notified about, after 3 months, that's public information. Except for any kind of employee history or personal history of an employee, that always stays quiet. You can't share personal information about them. But other issues, such as negotiation of property, after 3 months, if someone asks, you really should be telling them. The other thing that bothers me is we need to be clearer when we go into executive session why we're going into it. That's at the village hall. Pat?
I agree with what Doug has said about that list. I'd add to it is if the town had or the village, which does have a grant program, you're allowed to go into executive session because you're because the municipality is discussing the people's personal financial situation. You're also allowed to go into discussion to discuss any of those loans. You're so allowed to go into executive session to discuss any loans that are in default or any potential problems with loans. Also, by virtue of a union contract, the municipality can be compelled to go into executive session. And also, there is it's part of the civil service law that there's some matters concerning police officers that have to be discussed in executive session.
Thank you.
Okay, next question, and this goes to Patsy first. What measures have you taken or are you going to take to ensure that conflicts of interest, for example, the granting of town contracts to family and or friends, will not exist?
Well, I don't believe in that anyhow. Thank God none of my family has anything that they would need to do anything for the town, let alone live around here. Thank God. But I don't believe that you should favor certain people and certain family members or certain friends just because that's who they are. I don't do that personally. I don't do that business-like. I do it because whoever has the ability to do a job should do it, and not because of who they are, but what they can actually do and for the better of the price and so forth. I don't believe you should. I don't favor anything. There's only one person I have to favor, and I'll answer to him when I have to.
Todd?
Can you read that again?
Sure. What measures have you taken or are you going to take to ensure that conflicts of interest, for example, the granting of town contracts to family and or friends, will not exist?
Well, I think it goes back to the part of the open meeting law. I think when you're starting to grant contracts, there should be a bid process. There should be an openness of, you know, reviewing the bids and not just give a contract to someone because they're your brother-in-law or they're your sister-in-law. Basically is to keep the business of the town open. It's the people's business, where their money's being spent, who it's being spent with. So that would be what I would do.
Helen?
Like Todd said, it's a bid process. If you have a job that you want done, you put it out. And it's put in the paper, it's notified, people put submit their applications, and you read over it. If you discover, for whatever reason, that you have a conflict of interest, you have an obligation to recuse yourself from any kind of negotiation at that point. You need to step back and say, I'm sorry, I know this person, or this is my brother, this is my sister. I can't be involved with this contract. I can't be involved with choosing this bidder. And that's an obligation you have to the people. I guess that's how I would do it. I'd be honest.
Pat?
Conflicts of interest are covered by the general municipal law. It's an extensive section of the law, and there's a tremendous amount of case law. And what we have to be mindful of is that, for example, a situation can be where somebody is sitting on a board who is an employee of, a vendor of professional services to the municipality. That is not necessarily a conflict for them because they do not own the company, they work for them. So the law is pretty specific about conflicts of interest. And naturally, if there's a conflict, I'm going to recuse myself. I am not going to have any question about my integrity given whether awarding a bid or hiring an employee.
Doug.
On the town level, we have a code of ethics and, more importantly, in this case, a procurement policy, which is strict, and we update it periodically and we review it every year. On the county level, it was a big problem, has been ever since I was there until 2 years ago, when we had a change in leadership and some of us got offices. We insisted upon the adoption of a code of ethics. We insisted upon the creation of a board of ethics. And I have been urging in every committee I'm a member of, even in those cases where you do not have to bid, like professional services, but attorneys, engineers especially, that we have to go to RFP. Unfortunately, I have not yet been successful on that. We have started to do this with engineers. We are going to do it with our counsel. We have bond counsel. We have litigation lawyers. We have all kinds of different lawyers. We which has been, frankly, a good old boy network, which many of us have been trying to change. The law doesn't require it, but we're going to do it.
Okay, next question, and this goes to Todd first. What role do you see technology playing in local government? Do you support streaming town board meetings live over the internet?
Absolutely. I know now that the town of Canoe, they tape all their board meetings and they do put them on the public access channel. I think the streaming live on the internet would be a great service to the community. Technology can play a big part, whether it's streamlining record retention in the town level, whether it's the assessor's office or it's in the justice area, in the chambers. I think that technology can play a big role in those areas. So, yeah, I would say that definitely would be a bonus.
Helen,
can you repeat the question?
Sure. What role do you see technology playing in local government? Do you support streaming town board meetings live over the internet?
Technology can be an enormous resource for governments, for anybody. You can see it at play in the schools and in your own homes. I do support the idea of streaming the meetings live over the internet. I think that's a great way to get people that are housebound, people who can't get to the meetings, they can still feel that they're involved. If there's questions they have, they can come back to the town board and ask it later on. For a while, I took on the responsibility of taping the village board meetings and giving those tapes over to the local TV station. Then the mayor took over that responsibility, and I gave him the forms to submit those as well. To continue that process of submitting our meetings from the village there. And also technology in the town level can offer us ways to resource and ways to get information that we need to give us, such as when they're talking about the public meetings law, I went to that myself very often on my computer in order to get definitions and find out things I needed.
Pat.
I think technology is a wonderful resource. I certainly support streaming town board meetings. I certainly support the town doing everything that they can for records retention, to make the job of all the town employees easier, to lessen the bulk of storage documents that the town is required to store. It's very costly and it's very time consuming for the town, and I think it's much better handled in an electronic media wherever possible.
Doug.
Yes. We're blessed on the town with having Peggy Mulligan Moore as a super electronic expert, so that we have taken advantage of everything that there is. We have a website, and you talk about open government, which was mentioned by Patsy. We have our agendas there, we have our minutes there, we have our laws there, we have the comprehensive plan there, we have everything there, and now we are streaming our meetings themselves there. We don't stream live because we don't have that technology yet. On the county level, let me just tell you something that I'm very disturbed about. The Department of Social Services is perhaps, our Department of Social Services is the only county in the state of New York that does not permit email or have a website that is workable. Now, I say only the ones I've searched. We had a meeting this week, as a matter of fact, where they're asking for more help. I said, no more help until you deal with people on the internet. First of all, we pay for every single one of those workers in that building to have an internet site. For what?
Patsy?
Do I have to do this again, Doug?
Yes.
I believe in it. Believe it or not, I go on the town webpage and I actually watch the town meetings sometimes, and it's very long and extensive. But so as I'm dusting the house and sorting out laundry and also washing down the whole neighborhood, I get to watch the whole town meeting. And I find that there's nothing. Believe it or not, there's a couple of people in my neighborhood that I think that they will love it because they're shut in. They don't drive at night. They don't go to the town meetings. And they do ask, and I did hook them up to the town homepage so they can watch it, and they will love it, and I think it'll be very helpful to our seniors and people that don't go out at night, and they're very interested in what is going on, so I'm all for it.
Okay, next question, this goes to Helen first. Do you foresee the town participating in any capacity in the repair of the Village of Valacious failing sewer system?
I would love it if they would help us out. There's conflicting attitudes about whether or not our sewer system is failing. I don't know if it's failing. I think it needs to be upgraded. We are in the process of getting upgrades in place as of right now. But if we could have help, it depends. But the problem is that then you're asking people who aren't getting services from the senior citizens, from the sewer system, to pay for it. So although we would love the help, it really isn't fair to the rest of the people in the town of Kinderhook to do that. I would like it, though, if anybody wants to give me money to help us out. So the question there is, I can't see how we can possibly do that. It has to be handled by the Village of Valacious. Pat?
The Village of Valacia has a system that was built in the early 70s, and since that time, the technologies has changed, and through nobody's fault, it needs upgrade, and from time to time. Also, the fact that there's a tremendous amount less volume, but a much stronger type of sewage coming into the system due to state building code requirements. But Helen's entirely correct. You're asking for one municipality to contribute to another without a municipal cooperation agreement. If I had a dream, and it was back in the 70s when federal money was available, I'd love to see the entire town have municipal water and municipal sewer, because it's a tremendous enhancement to property values. It's a tremendous health and safety. It tremendously enhances the health and safety of people. It protects the environment. That Kinderhook Creek went from being not able to be fished to a Class A trout stream as a result of that sewer system. And that's something that's forever, and it's for our children and our grandchildren. And if that system could be expanded in a cooperative way with no impact, I'm for it.
Mm-hmm. Doug?
There's two ways that we can, and I suggest that we do it. But I have to have willing people to work with in the village. Number one, Mr. DeVito wants to build a senior center. He will contribute $500,000 towards, the last study I saw was $1.2 million by Crawford and Morris Associates, I think, for the village to improve it. He would pay $500,000 towards the upgrade of that system. Why not do it? The argument was, it's in the town of Kinderhook, or part of it is. Okay, annex it. I would have no objection to annexing it. There's $500,000 to fix your system. The other thing is, and I've said this time and time again, most of us are on septic systems, so that we need to dispose of the septic waste. Right now, they have to go to either north of Albany or south of Poughkeepsie. With the price of diesel, it takes a lot of money just to empty your sewers these days, your septic tank. Valacia could actually make money if they expanded that, which we could help them with, because we would get the benefit of. But you got to be able to talk, you got to work together, which I'm willing to do.
Patsy.
Agenda. Okay. I believe that the upgrade is probably needed. I'm living in Nyerville, and I personally don't want to pay for it because I have my own well and so forth, but we don't get any of that luxury of a sewer system over there where we are. So, of course, I think, but Valacia probably does need to be upgraded. It's a 1970s unit that you said that has gone in. And I feel that writing grants and trying to search out every little thing that you can possibly do is that something that we're going to have to look at. That's all.
Todd.
Yeah, I also think it's hard to ask for people who don't have, the benefit of that system to pay for it. Like Patsy, I live in Nyerville. I have my own well. I have my own septic tank. I do have to take care of getting it pumped out, every couple of years. But I think, like Doug mentioned, I think that there's a possibility. Why not look at a way to join services? I don't know if it's a feasible possibility, but we wouldn't know until we looked at it. But I do think the Village of Valacia obviously has some work to do on the upgrade. Like Pat said, no fault to themselves, but it is what it is. It's an old and aging system. But I think that, there'd have to be, I think it would take some time to figure out how to get, the villages and the hamlet of Nyerville involved in that and connected, so.
Okay. Next question, and this goes to Pat first. Do you have any plans for the local community theater in Valencia that is currently in disrepair, trying desperately to raise funds for repairs?
Well, I think disrepair is in the eye of the beholder. The village made a commitment to take a building that was tumbled down and spent and got grants through Congressman Sweeney, got grants through the state, most recently got a grant from the Dormitory Authority, which I assisted the theater group in managing the application for the grant. I think that theater is a centerpiece for redevelopment in Valencia. It's a unique facility. It's a work in progress. I don't think disrepair is a term. I think it's another dream. If there were millions of dollars available, I think everybody at this table would love to see that opened up. But it's been worked on, and I think it's a great thing, and I think it's a tremendous asset to the village.
Doug.
Yes. I tried to get the mayors to work together on our telecommunications franchise agreements. The franchise agreements are the cable companies. One of the things that we could demand is a live access. The three municipalities really have enough people to do it. I said, let's do it jointly. We'll put it at that theater. That would be the common sense place to put a live feed. However, Valencia backed out. It's not my control, but I think this can be done, and we should be working towards it. It could be a centerpiece of all our meetings. This could be televised. It could be televised live from the proper setting. It's a perfect location for that kind of thing, but we got to work together.
Patsy?
I think the theater looks like $1 million compared to what it looked like, the outside and everything, and the work that people have done to it, and the support that it has. Way we can enhance it. I really think that if we do a little bit, maybe we can all put heads together and do a little bit of a little bit more fundraiser for it. We can help it along. I think it looks great. I think it's done a lot of services. I think the youth has enjoyed it down there, and I commend all those that are involved. I really do. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have in the village. It looks a lot better than some of the other places. Oh, sorry. Did I say that?
Yeah, I would like to see that revamped. I think it's a nice part of the village history of Valencia. I think the theater group has done a fine job of getting some grant monies and getting that thing up and running so that they can do some performances there, whether they're showing movies. The Haunted House, I think, is going to be there.
Everybody should go.
I'll plug it for you. But it is this week. But I think that the town could, if the town could get together with the village and see what we can do, see what, working together, it's kind of the whole consolidating and shared services, and I think that would be it's in a great location, good centerpiece for the village.
Helen.
I think the theater can be an economic backbone for the Vane Street, and I think it has. When we have programs there, people eat at the restaurant, people buy their flowers at Crazy Daisy, the kids go down to Evenstar, they buy gifts for each other on Main Street, they go to Columbia Cafe and they get coffee. It has to be broken down into baby steps. Unfortunately, we're not going to get a huge grant. So you got to break it down. You got to make your priorities straight. You got to figure out what do you need first. That's why we're looking at bathrooms, because everybody needs to go to the bathroom no matter how you look at it. But it could be a gem. It could be a gem for not only the village of Valencia, but a gem for the whole town. It could be a real coming together spot, a place where the community can come in and watch movies. I go there and watch my kids on the stage. I watch other people's kids on the stage. It's put me into contact with people that I would never even ever talk to normally, but I have their kids there and I work with their kids, and it's a wonderful place. So do I think it should be fixed? Absolutely. I think it'd be good for everybody.
Okay, next question. And this one goes to Doug first. What is your position regarding public officials' use of public meeting time or the municipality's public website to engage in political messages?
Shouldn't be done, and I don't do it.
Patsy.
Ditto. It shouldn't be done, and I probably wouldn't do it.
Todd.
Shouldn't be done, and I don't do it. I don't see myself doing it.
No.
Helen.
Having been a victim of that and having somebody attack me politically at a meeting, I don't think it should be done. It made things very difficult for the meeting to go on. I was very upset and I was angry, and it was difficult for anybody on the board to continue to conduct business at that point. When I had something to say back to the person that made the public political statement towards me, I waited till the meeting was over, I stated my case, and I went home.
Pat.
I think it depends on what you call political. I don't think the municipality's facility should be used for political purposes at all. I'll just remind everybody, I remember when any governor for the state of New York, Mario Cuomo, George Pataki, or the present Governor Patterson makes an ad supporting whether it's tourism, whether it's New York State apples, whether it's a state program, people holler, it's politics. I don't think it's necessarily politics when a municipality is put in a positive light by its chief executive or the members of its board.
Okay, next question, and this one goes to Patsy first. From what corporations has your campaign accepted contributions, and what is the nature of their business?
Do I know that?
I do.
Patsy, you're first.
I really don't know that answer, to be honest with you. And I'm being honest, because I'm an honest type woman. So I cannot tell you. You have to understand me. I mean, people do that, you know, I understand that this is part of it. I'm running for the people, I'm not a big political type woman type thing, so I couldn't tell you. And that's my honest truth, you know?
I don't want to cut you off.
Don't cut me off, because I have no answer.
Okay. Todd.
I personally, I did not open a campaign. I didn't accept any donations. Any donations that went through were to the Town of Kinnerick Democratic Committee. And I don't know the actual answer to that. I don't believe we have any corporate donations. I think they were all small personal donations.
Helen?
We have no corporate donations going into the Kinnerick Democratic Committee. They've done, they do the team pieces. My own personal campaign literature, I print it on my computer at home. I can tell you that I've spent $120 on my campaign.
Pat?
According to New York State election law, every donor is listed on the website, which is available. And the website address escapes me. I'm sure somebody will remind me of it before the meeting's out. Those are all fully available to whoever the public wants to regard them. I think it's New York State Board of Elections filings. What comes to mind immediately is Barnwell Nursing Home, which is a local employer and a corporation, has donated to us. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any other ones. There are some, but then again, I also recognize that corporations and businesses are employers in this area and keep folks working and pay taxes. So I think using the term corporation in a pejorative manner is not fair to those entities at all.
Doug.
The Republicans have received money from Barnwell, Halt Corp,
the Abacus,
the corporation operated by Mr. Hulk, who has just been given an 82-lot subdivision approval. He had previously given $1,000 to my adversary, Mayor Stravell, Marcel St. Ange, Tikoski Group, and on our financial, and I suggest you go on there and see who gives to who. Under the definition of corporation, it's not just corporations, but it's also other things like parties. The only listing that I have under that corporation item is the Columbia County Democratic Committee, and they gave me. They're listed as supposed to be treated as a party, as a corporation. But all our people are listed on there. The highest, I suggest you go on the New York State Board of Elections website. You type in Kinnerick Republican Club, Kinnerick Democratic Club, Doug McGivney, and you will see who's giving us money.
Time.
The Republican.
Thank you. Now, before I ask, I have two questions here. But before I ask, I need to ask you, have you all had a chance to read tonight's Register Star?
Because if you haven't, then I don't think that this question is, these questions are fair.
I haven't read it.
I haven't read the whole thing.
Then I'm not. There are two questions here. I'll read them to the audience, but I don't feel that it's fair to ask the candidates to comment in an attempt to keep this level playing field, since not all individuals have had a chance to read their local paper. One question says, please comment on today's letter to the editor in the Register-Star concerning assessments. I haven't read the paper either, so I don't know what it's comment, second question, comment on the significance of the Register-Star endorsement of candidates.
Okay.
So we're going to leave, we're not answering those questions. We're not answering those questions because not everyone had a chance to read tonight's paper. Seeing no more questions at this point, we're going to move to closing statements, and we're going to give the closing statements in the reverse order of the opening statements, which means, Doug, you are up first.
Okay, let me just talk a little bit about taxes. We passed our preliminary budget. There are three steps to the budget. That is, you have a tentative budget, which a lot of people refer to as a wish list. We don't. Our budget director, Peggy, beats on people not to submit anything that's unrealistic. We have gone to the next stage, which is called the preliminary budget. There will be no increase in the DB, which is the highway fund. There will be no increase in the B, which is outside of the village. There will be an increase in the A fund, and I can't remember how much. It's either 5 to 12 cents, depending upon how we work things out with the fire departments. No increases for any fire department, but an increase for the ambulance of what we consider substantial percentage-wise, but they're still way, way below any of the fire or the library. The increase is due in part to the fact that we are attempting to get our fire companies to work together. The village of Valencia has long complained that they didn't get enough money from us, but under the rules, we can't really give them much. We come up with a mechanism, the firefighters suggested it, by which out of the A fund, by no, giving no money to them under the district funds, we will give it the A fund and help to relieve the Village of Valencia of some of the debt for a ladder truck, which we all need. Second, on the county level, a lot has been done, and I would like to continue doing it. For example, we reorganized planning so that our planning director is now head of CCEDC, which was our economic development group, which gets a lot of money from us. And when we first looked at it, when we got involved, this past 2 years, we found that the people who were the board of directors were quite often the recipients of the grants. That is changed. As you know, there have been applications for us for things that in the old days would have been granted. For example, Wide Waters applied for special money, special funds, special everything. After it had been granted and it was going, we said no. And I think that was a proper thing. I want to mention our website, that we do in fact have everything on our website, and if you need anything more, you can get on it. And also, all the things we've discussed tonight, I have on my blog, which is dougmcgivney.blogspot, and I've discussed taxes more than you want to know. So far as the donations, which I didn't finish up on, the good old boys have given to the Republicans all the names that I gave you, Marcel, St. Ange, and those people. You can look at mine. I don't have any very big donations. My biggest is a very good friend of mine who I've given that much to when he runs. But those are the facts. Now, I have the website. I would encourage both the website and the blog, actually on Facebook, which I don't quite understand yet. But you're welcome to look at it. I have an article on equalization right, on taxes, on anything that you want to hear. The fire districts, I'll have one tomorrow. Thank you. And I have appreciated being here, and I thank everybody.
Okay, the floor now belongs to Pat.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight. I'd just like to point out I was mayor for 6 years down in the village of Valencia. I worked with Democrats, I worked with Republicans, I worked with conservatives, I worked with people who weren't enrolled in any political party. We had a very cooperative atmosphere at that time. And we were able to put in Valencia Woods, which brought safe, decent, and affordable senior citizens housing to 32 people. There's a crying need for the continuation of those things in our community. Regrettably, a proposal that was on the table was not funded through the governor's office this year and couldn't move further. I know they're applying again. I was also able to work with the medical community and bring Valacia Woods into the, Valacia Medical Arts, in which provided 50 jobs. It brought a walk-in medical care clinic. It brought in 17 specialists into the community. This saved people time. It saved them gas. It made their lives a lot better because they didn't have to drive to Albany for a blood test. I'm sure most of the people in the room have used this facility as opposed to going to Albany and Hudson. It's the atmosphere of cooperation, and it's also the atmosphere of open government, and it's also the atmosphere of being able to endure criticism. I have grown in government. I would say, and I say this seriously, many of my critics have been my best friends. They've taught me to reevaluate positions. They've taught me that I must rethink things, and sometimes I've just got to say, I can't impose my will on other people's. Say other people's and other communities. I don't think the county can go into a village and dictate to the village what will happen there. I don't think they should dictate to the city of Hudson on some issues. I think that we all need to be involved in these critical decisions that involve locating facilities, locating jobs. I would not shut out anybody, nor would I attempt to oppose my will or the will of any political party on a group of people. I think that is very, very important. I served for 6 years as mayor. I didn't even know what a freedom of information request was. People came in and got information except where it was personal. Nobody was denied access to any information where it was allowed to be viewed. I feel very, very strongly that the atmosphere of partisanship can't continue. And I also think we have to think about everybody in our community. When finger pointing starts, when pejorative terms are used to describe employers in the community, I think that's very, very sad, and it's something that I wouldn't practice. Thank you.
Helen.
Okay, what I want to talk about is why I want to serve you and why I want to be on the town board. And it all goes back to why I'm here in the town of Kinderhook. I grew up here. I went off to school, and when it came time to settle down, even before I was having kids, I came back to Niverville to my mom's home, and I lived there with my brother until I married my husband, and I raised my four children there and then on into the village of Valacia. I love it here. It's my home. It always has been my home, and I also have a need, for whatever reason, to help people and to serve people. I'm very much like my mom in that. I understand what it's like to have a family and be struggling. I work with my mother every day. I run a small business. I've been in that business since 1989. And it's hard sometimes to make ends meet because I have to make sacrifices to stay in that business. I don't make a lot of money there, but it gives me the flexibility to be with my kids. And living here has allowed me the flexibility to allow my kids to go out in the community and be who they want to be. I don't have to be protective of them. I don't have to worry about where they're going and what they're doing. Why I want to serve here then is to serve that community, to serve the community that's my home and the people that watch out for me and watch out for my family and watch out for my kids. I want to give back. We have a lot of resources here. Our parks, our open space, the National Park, the Ichabod Crane School District, which is a big reason why we stayed here as well. But mostly, the biggest resource we have are our people and our families and our community. And that's why I want to be on the town board. Like Pat said, I'll probably grow. I hope I'll grow. I'll be more educated. I'll be more adept at all of the policies and governing and learning. But I'm also somebody that's a quick learner, and I'm very good at picking up on things and making educated decisions and research and not making a decision before I know what the issue is about. I don't like doing that. It makes me uncomfortable. I want to stay connected. I want the character of the town to remain in place. I would like to see more community building so that when we have new families that have come in, they can feel welcome and feel as connected as I do. And I want to be more responsive to our community, and I want to be a problem solver.
Thank you. Todd?
The reason why I'm running is I've lived in this community pretty much my entire life. I now live three streets down from where I grew up. My mom still lives there. My sister lives across the street from me. It's a great place to live. The villages, the town of Kinderhook is just it's a fantastic place to live. The reason why I want to serve on the town board, I want to continue that. I want to continue on and keep this town, keep moving and striving forward. I want it to be a place where my kids, when they grow up and are old enough to make some decisions, I'd like them to stay put. I will work hard if elected. I will serve with an open mind and work with anybody that's willing to work, you know, work with me. I feel like my skill set of budget development and administration would be an asset to the town. I really didn't prepare a closing statement, so. But you know, that's what I'm here to tell you. That's what I'll do. I'll work hard.
Thank you, Patsy.
Last but not least, what I love the most is this atmosphere in this town. I really do. I love the people. What I've seen what happened in the last few years is that people forget. You go into Hannaford or you go into any place, they forget to hold the door for you. They forget to help the person. I helped the lady because her car was running away in the wind the other day. Meanwhile, there's six people that walk by her. Meanwhile, I'm running with my car, chasing her car, so it doesn't hit the big new truck that was down in the parking lot. People are forgetting the neighbors, they're forgetting the community life. And I really think we have to bring that back here. It's something I like. Whenever we had this, I mean, and I'm not gloating about it, but we don't know who's next door anymore. We don't know who's down the road. We don't know that lady down there lives all alone and there was an ice storm and she needs to have her walkway shoveled and so she can get out and her car started and her car cleaned off. We don't do that anymore in this community. I feel we should. I also feel that we forget about the farmers and the agricultural, and we should really remember that this is where we came from. And I really love the outdoors, and I love the parks. We have a great school system. My kids went through it. This community helped my family a lot when in time of need many years ago, and I have never forgot it. And you walk in this school, it's right there on the wall about my nephew. And we raised money, we helped the family, and I never forgot that, and I want to bring that back to the community. It's a great community. And unfortunately, us people that have been here long enough remember it. There's some people that forgot it. And I think we have to remember the children, the seniors, the people that don't always go to the sports places. They don't always go to the senior centers. There's more than just here. We have a great library system, which I use as much as I can. And I think we should really encourage that a lot more. We forget what small town living is, and we're forgetting everybody else. Everybody's closed up into their houses, and they're playing computers or just watching TV, and I really feel like I want to get out there, and I want to be able to express everybody and just say, this is a great place, and keep it the way it was, and keep it more striving, more people-oriented. Bring more business to the area, small business. I'm a big small business person. Just like Helen, it's tough to do, but we're doing it. And that's all I have to say. Thank you. And thank you for the League of Women Voters for helping us.
Thank you. I think we owe them all a round of applause. We applaud your willingness to serve the public. We want to thank everyone for attending tonight. We urge people to join the League of Women Voters. We are open to both men and women. The League is nonpartisan, and we never endorse candidates. Our purpose in holding the forums is so that you can have your questions asked and answered directly without the filter of other media. We encourage everybody to get out and vote and make sure that everybody that you know gets out and votes. Thank you again for coming tonight.
That's right, honey. You should have said that.
Good luck to you.
Good luck to you.
Good luck.